Well, if you remember, the last message I preached before the Christmas break, I shared with you how I just started a personal study in my own personal devotions, just going through the Bible and asking the question, who is God? We know that God is the all-eternal one. He's always existed. We know He's the all-present one. There isn't any place that God is not. And we know that God is the all-powerful one, that He created all things and He upholds all things by the word of His power. But the emphasis that I've really been looking at is His heart. What is His heart? What is His nature? What is His heart and nature like? And if you remember, before the Christmas break, we went all the way to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. And we saw from the very beginning that God is good. The very nature of God, the very heart of God is His goodness. And today I just want to continue along those lines. And this morning I want to talk to you about God is faithful. God is faithful. His very nature is faithfulness. The Lord is faithful. And I want you to go with me just to one verse. And that's Psalm chapter 36. And we're going to look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I just want to begin by saying that God is faithful, that His very nature is to be faithful, that God can't be anything but faithful because that is who He is. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19:11 that God's very name is faithful. Revelation 19:11 says, And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. So God's very name is faithful. God's very nature is faithful. Listen, there isn't ever a time in time and eternity that God is not faithful, that God is not acting in His faithfulness. There's not a moment that goes by in time and eternity where He is not moving out of His faithfulness. God cannot move. God cannot act in any other way but in His faithfulness. And brothers and sisters, that speaks to us very powerfully as His people. That there's not ever a moment in our lifetime, not even a split second, where we are not covered by the faithfulness of God. There's not a sliver of time that goes by in our life where God is not moving faithfully and in His faithfulness towards us. In the good times, easy times, God is acting faithful in our behalf. In the hard times, in the painful times, God is acting faithful in our behalf. In the things that we understand, God is being faithful. In the things that we don't understand, God is being faithful. Because God cannot be anything else but faithful to His people. Now, I do want to ask this question with that thought in mind. Well, if God is always, always, always faithful to us, then does this mean that He makes all the bad things happen in our lifetime? I mean, if there's not a moment in our life where God is not being faithful to us, then does that mean that all the bad things that happen to us, it comes from the hand of God because God is being faithful to us? I had a woman come to me and talk to me, very hurt, very confused. She found that her husband was into pornography. She caught him with pornography. And she came to me and she just asked me this question, very hurt and very confused. And she says, Am I supposed to give God thanks for this? Am I supposed to thank the Lord for this? I mean, if the Lord is absolutely sovereign over my life and He is so faithful to me, then am I supposed to thank the Lord for this? Was this His will for my life? Is this His will for my marriage? And the answer came very strong to my heart and that the Lord gave me. And the answer was simply no. No, this was not God's will. It wasn't God's will for your husband to dabble around and play and get hooked on pornography. That wasn't the will of God. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the thief that comes to ravage marriages with sin. It's your husband who made some very foolish choices. But here's the faithfulness of God to you. Walking through this, there will never be a moment you will walk alone. There will never be a moment God will leave your side. As you walk through this, God will come to you. His presence will be there. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. In times where you need to be carried, He will pick you up and carry you. In times when you need a shoulder to cry on, His shoulder will always be there for you to cry on. God will not leave you. And ultimately, as you walk with God, God is going to heal you. God is going to restore you. And when you come out of this, you're going to come out with a song in your heart. You're going to come out with a testimony in your heart that as I walk through this time, God's faithfulness was unfailing in my life. And in this valley, I did not die. But I came out of this valley declaring the wonderful works of God because my God was faithful. That's why the Bible says in all things give thanks. Why? Because in all things God will be faithful to His people. In all things, we can give the Lord thanks because He can be nothing but faithful to His people. Now, the actual word faithful can speak of a variety of things, but there are just three things on my heart, three definitions that I want to bring. The word faithful speaks of loyalty. Webster defines faithful as adhering strictly to a belief or a truth in which one is bound. Simply put, your loyalty to a belief or truth will not be shaken. It will not be shaken. You are faithful to it. And it speaks of the loyalty of God. Listen, God will always be loyal to His word. God will always be loyal to His promises. God will not be shaken. His promises will never fail because God is loyal to His word. Isaiah 28:16 says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a tried stone." Beloved, Christ is a tried stone. Throughout the ages and all the ages that were, the promises of God have been put to the test. The promises of God have been put into the fire and has always proven faithful. Saints of old throughout the ages, in times of horrendous need, they embraced the promises of God. And they clung to the promises of God. And they found that the promises of God are faithful. Not one has failed. God is loyal to His word. The word faithful means unchanging. That God cannot deny Himself. What He is, He will always be. He will never change. Malachi 3:6, the Lord says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Beloved, everything that God reveals Himself to be in the Word will never change. His love will never change. His salvation will never change. His faithfulness will never change. His steadfastness will never change. His mercy will never change. Who He is who He is, and that is who He will always be. He's unchanging. Which brings me to my third truth, which is God is absolutely trustworthy. In the Greek, in which the New Testament was written, the word faithful actually means trustworthy, sure, true. You know, I feel very honored when I have the opportunity to be around the saints, the old saints that have walked with God for many, many years. There's just an honor and a humility that really comes into my heart when I just have an opportunity just to walk beside them and talk with them. Because brothers and sisters, in their life is such a pure love for God. In their heart, there is such a pureness for their love for the Lord. And when you're talking to them, saints that have walked with God many, many years, you find out real quickly the reason why there's such a pureness in their heart for the Lord. Their love is so pure for the Lord is because walking with God for a lifetime, they found out that God is absolutely trustworthy. He can absolutely be trusted. That they found out through a lifetime of walking with God that there was never a time that they could not trust the Lord. God was found to be trustworthy. I think about my grandmother. My grandmother had a very difficult life. When she was just a young girl, she married a farmer, and they were very poor. And for almost an entire lifetime, she lived doing very, very back-breaking work. Many, many, many years, very back-breaking work. And when she was a young woman and she had children, her children were continually in and out of sanitariums because of tuberculosis. And it goes on and on and on. I could tell you so many things that she's walked through. But today, my grandmother is in the nursing home. She's very old, up in years. And she's very frail. She's very weak. But in the midst of her frailty and weakness, there is a fire that burns in her eyes. And when she begins to talk to you about Jesus, that fire in her eyes just becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. And that fire in her eyes is the purity of the love that she has for Jesus. And talking to her, we find out, you will find out, the reason why she has such love for Jesus is because through her lifetime, she found out the Lord is so near and He is always trustworthy. And she has grown so deeply in love with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is faithful because He is absolutely trustworthy. Now, this is where I really feel led to go with this message. We can talk to one another about the Lord's faithfulness and put definitions to it and try to explain it in words, but we'll never really know the preciousness of God's faithfulness in our lives until we have walked through some things in this lifetime. To really get a revelation of God's unfailing faithfulness, we have to walk through some things in this lifetime. And that's where His faithfulness really becomes understood and precious in our lives. And I just want to give you a few examples that I see in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are so full, going through this study, the Scriptures are so full of people that know the faithfulness of God in their life. And I just want to go through some examples here. Don't turn with me there. Let me just give you example number one. There's no better place to start than Abraham. Abraham was a man who was called to go on a journey of faith with God. God called him to leave the familiar and to venture out with God into the territory, the realm of the unfamiliar. And God began to lead Abraham in places that Abraham had never been and to face circumstances that Abraham had never faced before. And in the midst of journeying with God, God gave him a promise. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And that's meant so much to Abraham's heart and to Sarah's heart because she was barren and she really wanted a son. But as they went on this journey of faith with God, the Lord done something different. The Lord done something, I'm sure, that they weren't really expecting. What the Lord did was simply this. He waited. Before He gave them a son, He waited for the promise to come to a place of absolute impossibility. He waited till the strength of their own flesh and the zeal of their own hearts were not able to take what God had promised and work it out in the strength and zeal of the flesh. I mean, it came to an absolute place of impossibility. And then it was then that the Lord brought the promise. And brothers and sisters, I have seen this many times, and I'm sure that you have seen this many times. We've seen it many times. We have seen brothers and sisters in the Lord, the days that we've seen them walking around discouraged. We see them walking around downcast. We've been there ourselves. We've seen them walking around so lamenting in heart and mourning in heart, just in a place of confusion. We have seen it. And if you ask them what's wrong, the question is, I thought that God had given me a promise. God spoke a promise into my heart, and I so believe God, but now it's in a place that's absolutely impossible. There's no way, I see it now, there's absolutely no way God can bring this promise to pass. It's absolutely impossible. In my heart, I feel like this. I feel like, God, I trusted You and I trusted You, but now it's absolutely impossible. No, let me tell you something. This is what the Lord spoke to my heart. No, we did not fully trust Him. It was a conditional trust. As long as we could see the possibility. As long as we could see, you know, God might can do it this way. God might can do it that way. He had our trust. But the moment it went into an impossibility, that trust was gone. And that's why we're mourning in heart and lamenting in heart and finding ourselves confused. Did God deceive me? But the wonderful news is, so many times when the impossibility is there, the promise is entered into the possibility, then God will come and He will begin to breathe life into that promise. And He will begin to resurrect that promise. And then we really begin to get it, that understanding, not in my head, but in my heart, that my God will be faithful to His word and His promises, even if it means resurrecting them from the dead. I've seen believers that way this week. Mourning in heart, discouraged, confused, because I had a word from the Lord. And now it's in a place of absolute impossibility. I trusted Him. No, your trust was conditional. As long as we could see a possibility, He had our trust. But the Lord is saying, I want to take you a little bit deeper than that. I want you to come to the place where you can trust me even when it's impossible. Because I am faithful. And I will always be faithful to my word and my promises. Number two, when we think about the faithfulness of God, we have to think about Joseph. Joseph was a man, you know, he received a dream, he received a word from the Lord. And then his own brothers sought to crush him, sought to destroy him, and they betrayed him and sent him into Egypt, sold him to the Midianites, and they brought him to Egypt to be sold as a slave. And Joseph went into Egypt all alone. Everyone that ever loved Joseph thought that he had been dragged off by a wild beast and devoured and eaten by a beast. There was no one. There wasn't anyone who believed that he was alive. And Joseph went into Egypt all alone. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe that Joseph, one of his greatest trials, from the moment they threw him into the pit until those days when he was in a dungeon, I think one of his greatest trials was loneliness. I think Joseph faced some very lonely times. I feel like Joseph, there were just times when the loneliness of Father's house and just the loneliness of being all alone in Egypt was intolerable. Incredible loneliness. But there's a phrase, there's a scripture in the Bible that's repeated often, and it's simply this scripture, and God was with Joseph. In other words, when Joseph had no one to walk through his trials with, when he had no one to share his fears with, when he had no one to vent his frustrations to, he had the presence of God. And it was in those lonely times that the presence of God would come to his heart and he would find in the presence of God what he needed. When he needed comfort, the presence of God was there and he found his comfort. When he needed strength, the presence of God was there and he found his strength. When he just needed an assurance of heart, the presence of God was there with an assurance to give him an assurance of heart. And when Joseph finally passed through that season of great trial, he came out with such an intimacy with the presence of the Lord. He had such a binding intimacy with the presence of the Lord. And beloved, I want to say this. I believe with all my heart, there is a depth of intimacy with the presence of God that only seasons of loneliness can give you. When it's in those lonely times, when the presence of God comes to your heart and says, I'm with you, you're not alone, and we find strength and we find comfort in the presence of the Lord, I believe there's a depth in His presence that only passing through lonely seasons in this life can give you. Yes, we are never alone because God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. But as believers, I truly believe we will pass through seasons that seem very lonely. And that's when the presence of God comes and binds with our hearts. You see, brothers and sisters, after 13 years of being in the pit and the prison and Potiphar's house as a slave, there came a day when God exalted him out of that. And God brought him into a very blessed life. He was a very blessed man. A wonderful wife, two wonderful kids. He had a home, he had security. God had blessed him. But brothers and sisters, the intimacy that he found with the presence of God would always be the greatest treasure of his heart. I'm sure he was thankful for the blessings. But nothing could be as priceless and precious to his heart as the presence, the intimacy he found with the presence of God in his lonely times. Amen. God is faithful. We will pass through hard times. We will pass through lonely times. God will be faithful to bring us out. But even more so in those hard times, difficult times, God will be faithful to show us his table in the wilderness. We will find there is strength there. We will find there is comfort there. We will find that our God is faithful. If we're going to know his faithfulness, if it's going to be more than definitions on a page, but a precious treasure in the heart, we have to walk through some things to understand that he's faithful. I think about Peter. Where would have Peter been without the faithfulness of God? We know his story. He made a great boast. Jesus, though all betray you, though all forsake you, Jesus, I won't forsake you. I'll stand by you. He made a great boast. But you know, when it came time to walk out what he said, he failed the Lord. And the Bible tells us that Peter left very grieved in heart, crushed in heart, broken in heart, because in his heart he just felt like he failed the Lord. I have failed the Lord. And he was crushed in heart. But we know the story. In his discouragement, he says, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. And he's out there and he fishes all night and he catches nothing. And then Jesus comes on the bank and he begins to speak to him. And he says to Peter and the disciples, have you caught any fish? And if you really get to the heart of what Jesus is saying, he's saying, is there any life in what you're doing? In your nets, going back to your boats. Is there any life in this? And Peter has to confess, no, there's no life in this. In fact, my soul feels as empty as these empty nets. And then Jesus says, come and dine with me. And in a moment on that bank, Peter and Jesus have a very intimate time where Jesus really begins to speak into his heart. And he restores Peter. Now here's the question. In the life of every believer, who doesn't know a moment of failure? In the life of almost every believer, who does not know a moment of horrible failure? And where would we be without the faithfulness of God? It's in those times where we feel like we've grieved God and we disappointed God, that God looks into our heart and he says, I know your heart. I know you love me. I know it's the desire of your heart to honor me. And God comes and he begins to speak life. And one more time he picks us up and draws us unto himself. Where would we be without the faithfulness of the Lord? And you know what I love about that story in John chapter 21? The Bible says to Peter, he says to Peter and the disciples, he says, I want you to come dine with me. So Peter, one more time, he comes and he sits in the presence of Jesus. And I think one more time, there is a living revelation in his heart of the privilege and of the honor it is to sit with Jesus in his presence. After his horrible failure, one more time, he's able to come and sit with Christ. And in his heart, there's a great, God, thank you one more time. Just for letting me sit in your presence again. I believe with all my heart, sometimes we as believers can become familiar with the presence of the Lord. We can come to church and be familiar with the presence of the Lord. We can sit in our same spot week after week after week and worship the Lord, and there's a love in our heart, but yet we've become familiar with the presence of the Lord and we've truly forgotten what an honor it is just to come to church and sit in his presence. But there's just something about times of failure and needing the mercy of God that restores that. Lord, I don't deserve to be here. I'm just a man full of frailties and weaknesses and I don't deserve to be here. God, in your mercy, you have called me to your presence. One more time. Beloved, just to be at Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit and sit in the presence of the Lord like this, do you know how honored we are? It's a privilege that all the money in the world can't buy. It's only because Jesus went and shed his blood on the cross and made us acceptable. God, thank you for one more Sunday. You're so faithful to draw us into this church where we can sit as your body in your presence and be ministered to by your Spirit. Thank you. Where would each one of us be if Jesus wasn't faithful to us in times of failure? But he's faithful. You know, I think about David. David said in Psalm 119, verse 50, he said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, even thy word which quickens me." In other words, David is saying it was in my times of affliction that I learned how to go to the word of God and find the resources that I need. It was in my times of affliction where I learned that I can go to the Word of God and God will be so faithful to breathe life into that Word and minister to the need of my heart. Beloved, it wasn't in the grassy meadows with a prophet pouring oil over his head that he learned that God is faithful to breathe life into the Word and give you strength when you need strength. It wasn't in the grassy meadows with prophets pouring oil over his head and saying, "You're going to be a giant slayer one day," that he learned God is faithful in time of need to breathe comfort into his word and comfort our hearts when we need it. It was in that wilderness time running from Saul, held up in lonely caves and running for his life, that he learned when I need strength and when I need comfort and I just need a word of hope, I can go to the word of God and God will be so faithful to breathe life into his word and give me what I need. God is faithful. I think about Samson. We know Samson's story. He lightly esteemed the word of God. He lived for the pleasures of his flesh, no fear of God, living for the pleasure of sin, living for the pleasure of his flesh, and one day God said, "Enough is enough." And Samson was delivered into the hands of his enemies, and what happened to Samson is this, he's put in a lonely dungeon, and he's shut up in a world of darkness. They put his eyes out. He's at the bottom of a dungeon, at the bottom of a dungeon in a complete world of darkness. And I believe with all my heart, sitting in that world of darkness, there is a grief tormenting his heart. Because as he's shut up in that world of darkness, he's beginning to realize, "I failed God. And I failed his people because of my own selfishness." And as he's down there many days grieving in heart, the Bible says something wonderful, and his hair began to grow. In other words, little by little by little, his strength was coming back. And I wonder how many backsliders would be totally destroyed by their guilt because they've squandered their life away in sin and played with sin, and now they're in a dungeon of darkness, grieving in heart, because I know I failed God, and I know I failed my family, and I know I failed my wife and my children because of my selfishness. And they're the ones paying the greatest cost. How many backsliders would be destroyed by their guilt and grief if it wasn't for the faithfulness of the Lord to one more time come to that place of darkness and say, "It doesn't have to end this way. It's not over yet. Come back to me. Come back to my heart. Yes, we'll have to work through some things. But I'm a God of second chances." How many backsliders would be destroyed by their grief and guilt if it wasn't for the faithfulness of God? And I want to tell you something. It's not God's will for his people to backslide. He doesn't put it in their heart to go on the gross sin. Lord desires that His people walk in the Spirit and be faithful to Him. But the wonderful news is God has come to the heart of many backsliders in His mercy, in their pits, in their world of darkness, in their grief, in their despair, in their depression. He has come and one more time said, "It's not over yet. I'm a God of second chances." Where would we be without the faithfulness of God? I think about Hagar. Hagar represents every person who ever just feels overwhelmed by what they're facing in life. Hagar's a woman who's being abused by Sarai. And she gets to the point where she's so overwhelmed, she just can't take it anymore, and she doesn't know what else to do but to run. And she runs. She flees into the desert. She's a woman who's overwhelmed by what she's facing. And the Bible says that she came to a well in the wilderness and she drank from that well. And it was after that time of being refreshed in the wilderness at the well that God came and He began to speak to her and He began to give her direction. And brother says, I want you to catch the point here. The Lord didn't speak to her until she came to the well first. See, the Lord knew she was so overwhelmed, she was absolutely not able to spiritually function at all. Even if He brought His word to her, she wouldn't be able to hear it and receive it. So He waited till she came to that well to revive herself. And I want to tell you something, that is the faithfulness of God. I think there are times where we all know what it's like to be overwhelmed, so overwhelmed to the point that even if the Lord did speak, we wouldn't be able to hear and receive it. But God has His ways of refreshing us. And I say that because I went through this just last week. Something happened in my life. I was suddenly found myself overwhelmed. I went to bed beseeching God, "God, You've got to do something. I can't bring myself out of this pit." And you know what the Lord did? He put me into a deep sleep. And I had a good night's sleep. And I woke up the next morning feeling refreshed in mind and body. And before the enemy could get his voice in the door, God started speaking to me on that bed. He brought His word to my heart. The promises of God just began to fill my heart. And the Lord was saying, "Tim, hold on. There's hope. There's strength. I haven't left you. The word of God is going to triumph in your life. You're going to see your enemies put to shame. My plan for your life will not be forfeited." Why? Because I'm your God. And I'm faithful. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the Lord is faithful. I know what it's like. I remember being saved. I wasn't saved long. And under such an attack of discouragement, and I remember walking into the church saying, "God, it's absolutely impossible today. There's nothing the preacher can say that's going to touch my heart and liberate me from this burden." And as I sat there in the pew, I remember so, I sat there in the pew, the worship leader began to lead worship, and lo and behold, she began to sing my favorite worship song. And as she began to sing my favorite worship song, I felt the presence of the Lord come upon my heart. He began to melt the darkness. He began to minister life to me. And when the preacher got up to preach, my heart was ready. That was my well. That song at the right time was my well. And God met me in that song. And then when the preacher got up to preach, he preached a word right to my heart and I was able to hear it. God is faithful. When I think about the faithfulness of the Lord, I think about Jacob. And this is going to be my last example. You should go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look with me at verse 21. Hebrews 11 verse 21 says, "By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." Brothers and sisters, you got to see this picture in your heart. This is such a sacred picture. This dying old man, in his very last short moments on the earth, leans upon his staff and he worships the Lord. Why? Because in the closing moments of his life, he's looking back over his life. And one more time in a fresh way, he's realizing God has been nothing but faithful to me. I want to tell you something. Jacob's life was not an easy life. Very dark, very difficult, full of some very dark times. He was a very stubborn, obstinate man who didn't care about anything but himself. And in order for the will of God and the plan of God to go forth in his life, God had to break him. And in the breakings of God, if you look through Jacob's life, he went through some very, very tough circumstances and situations and some crisis times. But it was in those times that God was faithful to change him into a man of God. Change him into a man whose life brought honor and glory for God. Brothers and sisters, do you understand? Do we understand there's only one thing in this life that's worth living for? It's not money. It's not a good job. All that will pass. Life is so short. There's only one thing on this earth worth living for. And that's to bring glory to God. Honor to the Lord. And God was so faithful to not let Jacob be consumed by his own lusts and his own desires, because they were absolute empty. But he was faithful to take this man and bring him into a place where God could work in his heart and he would receive glory out of Jacob's life. So now Jacob has lived many years on the earth. It's time for him to die. And in his closing moments, all he can do is look back over his life and see the faithfulness of God and worship. And brothers and sisters, I can't help but think what kind of testimony he was leaving the generation following him. Him leaning upon his staff and worshiping in the closing moments of his life, he was leaving a testimony for the generation that was following him. And what he was saying to that generation following him is something this: I've walked with God. I've walked a lifetime with God. And I can tell you, he's nothing but faithful. You can trust him. Jacob was saying to that generation coming up behind him, listen, I don't have money. I don't have material things to give you in a wheel. I don't have none of that. But I have something that's a lot more precious and priceless than gold and silver to leave to you. I have a testimony with God. And I can tell you in all things, you can trust the Lord because he will be faithful. And when it's time for you to go home, you're going to have a testimony that's absolutely priceless to leave to your children. God is faithful. You know, I thank the Lord for his blessings. And if I have a nice car and a home and some money in the bank to leave to Dimir when I die, I'll be grateful for that. But you know what? That doesn't even burn in my heart. It's not even something I think about. The one thing I want to leave with my son, more than anything else in this world, is Dimir. You can trust God in everything, in all things. You can trust God. Your friends are going to fail you when you have no money. Banks are going to fail you. Jobs are going to fail you. But I want to tell you something, Dimir. God will never fail you because he's faithful. Brothers and sisters, we can go on and on and on. So many more we can go in our Bible and talk about. Elijah, Joshua, Hannah, Naomi, Jehoshaphat, Paul, Peter, and so many more that came to an understanding that in my time of need, God is faithful. There's so many more that we can talk about. And what I simply want us to learn from these stories is, listen, no matter what we're walking through, going through, don't cast your confidence away in the Lord. Because He's the only one that will not fail you. And even in them times of impossibility, He will be faithful to His word. Don't cast your confidence away in the Lord. No matter what you see in the natural and how things appear, do not cast your confidence in the Lord, because His name is faithful and He cannot be anything but faithful to His people. Stand with me this morning.